NFI, North Carolina, Georgia, California, New York, Seattle, Washington, around the world, in studio, NFI, Radio Gospel Network, the number one quartet station in the world.
This room, and there may be people listening at home. I want to talk to you for a second and just let you know that situation is too big for you.
Yeah.
You can't handle that. You know what you need to do? You need to turn it over to the Lord right now. Wait a minute. If you're at home, you need to find you a secret place. Turn it into an altar. Get down on your knees. Lift your hands. Open your mouth. Throw your head back. And just begin.
just to be your friend. When you get downhearted, your broken heart, hear me. Oh,
let's go higher.
Trouble. He brought me out.
darkness brought me to the light. When I was in darkness, brought me to the light. When I was in trouble, brought me all the way out. That makes Jesus sweeter. I know Jesus is sweet today. I got some friends that are already gone on. If they were here today, they'd tell you Jesus is sweet. Madam Edna Garvin Cook, if she was here, she said Jesus been sweet to me. If Sam Cooke was here, he'd tell you Jesus been sweet to me. That cup of nightingales gone on. David Edmonton, Herbert Robinson, if they were here today, they said Jesus is sweet. Since they are not here, I believe I speak for Jesus. Oh, yeah, Jesus is sweeter. One more time, boys, Jesus is sweeter.
Jesus is sweeter than the honeycomb. Very pleasant. Good Monday morning. It is March the 18th, 2024, and welcome to all of you far and near. So thank you so much for joining us again on a great day as we give God all the praise, the glory, and the honor. And those of you around the world, you're catching the wave here from Raleigh, North Carolina, your number one quartet and contemporary Christian station in the world. I'm going to be with you all the way up to 11 a.m. this morning. I'm your host, the Anointed One, as always, my pleasure. And we've got more just like that all day today. Jesus is sweeter than a honeycomb. He's sweeter than that, believe it or not. Well, look, those of you, there's a lot, as I always say each and every day, a lot going on over the media. And those of you that, you know, you're on Facebook, you know there's a lot going on. I've had several friends that I went to school with, no longer with us. And, I mean, you know, it's constantly, every week, you just not heard that many people leaving us like that. But now, you know, it seems like more people are leaving us than it used to be. I don't know, but I guess because I'm older now, I guess I didn't pay it that much attention when I was younger. But there are a lot of people leaving today, and that's why we need to make sure we have ourselves in line that we will see Jesus' face. And those of you, I don't know where you are, what state of mind you are, or where you are spiritually, but if you're not in line, then you need to get in line. No man know the day or the hour when he's coming. And I've been hearing of different situations that people are, they wake up in the morning and walk in the kitchen and no longer with us. They go out to the car and no longer with us, and they're just from one thing to the other. But most of all, if they have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and, you know, I know we miss our friends, our family, our loved ones, but most of all, if they know Jesus, we ought to just shout glory, thank you, Lord, for allowing them to come to Christ. So that's the thing that we need to focus on and just thank God for his grace and his mercy that he has given us the right to everlasting life. And those of you who don't know him, I pray that you get to know him if you don't know him. Okay? All right. Well, look, let's get back to more gospel music. We are right at 17 minutes after the hour, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a wonderful Monday morning. To God be the glory.
How many of you know that God's got something better in store for you? Come on, boy.
God has so
many
great things. Can't you see
many great things? Great things, 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 great things,
I'm not going to mess with that no more. Oh, I'm talking to somebody here who knows he's got some right there. Demo said you weren't going to get the great thing. But I hear God say,
thank you. know the truth. Yeah. The devil tried to mess up my mind. Share forever love.
Yes, sir. You paid it all for
you
me.
You paid it all for me, yes. When you died, I don't care for me. I couldn't see you.
Same boy.
But oh, I knew you were right by my side.
Always right there. And what else?
And even though I felt like giving up, supporting me so much.
I shall forever
love. Yes, I will. You paid it.
You paid it all.
You paid it all for me.
Look what he's done for me.
He died.
Eight thirty-one a.m. on a wonderful Monday morning, March 18th, 2024. That's the sounds of those Texas boys, and of those of you, you know, Jesus did it all for all of us on Calvary's cross. You remember they nailed him in his hand and his feet. They even pierced him in his side. You know, after they nailed him and whipped him while he was going through the synagogue, they whipped him and beat him and spit on him and then nailed him in his hand and his feet, and that wasn't enough. They pierced him in his side and just knew that was it. It was all over, and they didn't know that still didn't take him out. Come on, somebody. That's the type of God we serve today. And, you know, there's many people that come at you different ways. They scandalize your name. They try to put you down and say negative things that are not even true about you, to just try to dampen your spirit. But you can't allow them to dampen your spirit. You got to realize who you are. You're more than a conqueror. You are an ambassador for Christ. Those of you that know what I'm talking about, if you are walking in the spirit, understanding who Jesus is, and you are representing Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and going out to share others about the goodness of Jesus Christ and who he is, he's still alive today. He got up from the grave on the third day. And you know, after all that they did to him, he was on the cross, and he didn't say a mumbling word, but he did speak to the Father, and he asked the Father, he said, "Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There are many people around us each and every day. We see in the grocery stores, we see them out in the streets, we walk by them, and we even have relatives and friends that we know, and they still don't really understand spiritually who Jesus is. You must have a personal relationship with him each and every day as you walk in life, understanding that it is he that made us and not we ourselves. It is he that has given us breath to breathe, the activities of our limbs to function. It's Jesus, nobody but Jesus. So I praise the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, our Savior. I thank God for his grace and his mercy. God, and I just ask him that he will allow you to receive his wisdom and knowledge from on high, that you make the right decision each and every day in your life, and you walk by faith and not by sight. Somebody said, glory to God. I hear you this morning, all right? Well, look, coming up a little later, 9:30 a.m. this morning, live from Fort Washington, Maryland, our good friend, awesome preacher, teacher, man of God, and he's been teaching the Word of God. I'm speaking of Reverend Robert E. Ellison. He is the author and writer of the Biblical Insight of Coping with Chaos. He's going to be with us this morning with his radio broadcast, Approaching the Finish Line radio broadcast. That's coming up 9:30 a.m. this morning. Look, I've got to take a pause for the calls for the station ID. And when we come back, we're going to turn it up just a little bit more. Very pleasant, good Monday morning. To God be the glory.
You're tuned into the stellar award-winning internet radio station.
You're at the right place at the right time.
The NFI coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hold up. Wait just a minute.
The anointed one.
On your radio.
Yo. Keep it locked right here.
Showcase fellowship inspired.
Showcase fellowship inspired.
You are now in the mix with the smoothest DJ on the planet.
You're listening to the anointed one.
Granny. Hello.
Good morning. May I speak to Maggie, please?
Do me.
How you doing, sugar?
All right.
God is good.
Yes, who is this?
I'm one of the grandmothers of the little girl that you got to fight with yesterday.
So?
And you slammed
I didn't get to fight with her. You're tipping up on behind my granddaughter from the star up in the back, and I wasn't from that you and nobody else star up with no night. I didn't get to fight with none of them.
Now listen to me, sugar. Just let me talk for a minute.
I'm going to let you talk, man. You're going to listen at me.
All right, now. Hold on there. Hold on. Now, my grandbaby don't bother nobody.
Who is your grandbaby?
But one of the girls you slapped. Well, just let me finish now.
Who is your grandbaby?
Wait, 1 second. Just hold on, sugar.
I want to know who is your grandbaby
hold
out here.
On. Just hold on, sugar, here. You put a scratch on my grandbaby arm, and my grandbaby ain't never did nothing to nobody.
I ain't going to get to them children.
Let me tell you something.
I didn't get to them children.
Baby, I love to fight.
I didn't even much get up to your children. I mean to. Now ask anybody at that school that I test and I'm one of them girls.
They said my...
They told you a lie. Because the person them hold me when he let me get to them.
No, you lying.
No, you telling a lie yourself.
Baby,
I didn't test down one of them children. If they say I test you, I come to school Monday and prove it.
Don't you make me come over there.
Come on, over here.
I ain't no killer, but don't push me.
Push them. I told you I ain't touch down with them children because they ain't get close to me.
You
them children way down there at that gate down there.
Me and my church member.
I'm a church member just like you. Don't put your church member in this here, baby. You might be bad, baby, but you got your mask. Now you can come over here now.
We gonna do a pray by.
I could, me and my staff can pray too.
You gonna drive by your house and throw some of them little green Bibles at
you. You can throw anything you want in my house, baby. You don't even know why I stay.
Lord, help this woman. She's
no, you need to help your children.
We talking about you. This ain't got nothing to do with you.
Your child was slipping up behind my granddaughter in my car with a knife.
Maylee.
Don't tell me nothing because you don't know your child like I do. You don't even know your own daughter like I do.
Maylee.
I've been knowing them children.
Maylee, do you got a son named Monroe?
I sure will.
Hey, Ma. Ma.
Don't make me mad here.
What? Ma.
What?
Hey, girl.
Don't be doing it because I'll get mad at thee. Don't play me. Nah,
Ma, I'll call you in a minute.
Let me tell y'all something now. I'll get back the phone. Uh-huh. I don't cuss. But see, y'all done run my blood pressure up now because I thought y'all done over good. I'm ready to fight now.
You ain't saved like they say you is.
I'm saved, but I'm going to save y'all because y'all know better to call and turn me up. Uh-huh. Well, I'm going to be playing when I get to buy what I said. Now I'm finna go get my grandbaby and I'll be in Birmingham in the next hour or two. And y'all be at the shop. Okay, now you think I'm lying. Don't be at the shop. Just leave my car and then me some money. Come on.
In HD. Come on in. We've been expecting you. Catch the wave.
Josh. I've been knowing you, man, for a long time. I remember when you were younger and we had a chance to talk about the music and everything that was going on, and I had a chance to help you with some things then, and I see that they have blessed you today. I also noticed, I don't know why you saved me for last. Cause everybody else's song is younger than me. I'm the oldest one, but that's alright. I'm gonna try to sing this song, one of your songs, you know, and I don't do a lot of that. Basically sing my own, but I'm gonna try yours. Okay, can I do that? I'm gonna try. I was looking for someone to be my friend. I was searching for someone, putting my trust in. I was hoping to find someone to give me peace of mind. I found Jesus right in the rain. Oh, I was looking. Someone I could call my own. I was searching for someone who would never leave me alone. Oh, hoping to find.
Before I go to Jackson, just let me tell you, no matter how low you get, you can't get too low for Jesus.
Yes, sir.
He too high, you can't get over it. All you gotta do is hold on. Just hold on.
The way that he brought you through, I'm finding him to be somebody's mother, even when your brother turned his back on you. Keep looking to the shield from which come your help. He knows just what you need. When you get in trouble, don't call nobody else. Just get down on your knees. He's a strong wind in the time of a storm, even when you got enemies. He's a way maker when you can't find your way. Just give him a chance and you'll see. Ask anybody who's been there before and they'll tell you that he's alright. Ain't he alright?
Alright.
He's alright.
Alright.
He's alright.
Alright.
He's alright. For yourself. Every time something goes wrong, he'll be there to help. If you're in need of a blessing and you can't get it nowhere else, he's the storm that brought you over when you depended on someone else. Anybody who's been there before and they'll tell you that he's alright. Ain't he alright?
Alright.
He's alright.
Alright.
He's alright.
Alright.
He's alright.
He's alright.
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 He's alright.
Alright.
He's alright.
Alright.
He's alright.
He's alright.
Have you tried him?
Alright.
Sermon
one you won't forget. But later on in the weekday, like everything's alright, you might find that same creature with someone else's wife, and we'll call him a Sunday. A lady of the, but if you are two-faced in the eyes of God, this is something that you may be called on Sunday.
Sunday Christian.
Sunday.
Are you looking for the Word of God? Then you don't have to look anymore. You can tune in and listen to this powerful man of God, Reverend Robert E. Allison, fulfilling wisdom and knowledge from the Word of God right here on the NL5 Radio Gospel Network with Approaching the Finish Line radio broadcast. Reverend Robert E. Allison, a man with dignity, a man with power, and a man that bring forth understanding.
When running a race, a runner sees signs along the way, signposts that let them know of their progress along the way. The same is with this race that we are running. There are signs that tell us of our progress. How far do we have to go until we reach our destiny? I'm going to talk about destiny. I'm going to talk about heaven. I'm going to talk about life and death. I'm going to talk about perseverance. I'm going to talk about endurance, the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Jesus here on the earth that's coming. I'm going to talk about angels and demons, apostasy, the falling away from the faith. I'm going to talk about faith. I'm going to talk about all things eternal. These are just some of the things that God has put on my heart. My name is Robert Ellison. I'm coming to you from Fort Washington, Maryland.
Be sure to join in with Reverend Robert E. Ellison with Approaching the Finish Line radio broadcast every Monday, 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, on the NFI Radio Gospel Network.
NFI, North Carolina, Georgia, California, New York, Seattle, Washington, around the world, in studio, NFI Radio Gospel Network, the number one quartet station in the world.
Touch can change. Father. I can dance again, dance to the rhythm. How my lungs and lungs sing a song, it's always in me. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm free indeed. Oh, I remember those heavy days, the shadow hit you from my face, but darkness bowed to Christ the King.
Yes, I'm free. Let's receive Evangelist Pamela Crawford at this time.
Hey!
the NFI Radio Gospel Network with 30 Minutes Power of Prayer 2024 here on the NFI, Mondays through Thursdays, 12:30 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Power of Prayer. Men and women of God that are coming forth praying for you, this nation, and the people around the world for healing, deliverance, and setting the captives free. Don't miss us right here. The Power of Prayer Request Hotline, Mondays through Thursdays here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network, where the breakthroughs and miracles are manifesting in this year of 2024. Join us, the Power of Prayer Request Hotline. Dial in anytime. That's 563-999-3020. Again, that number, 563-999-3020. We'll look forward to hearing from you. The Power of Prayer Request Hotlines here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
NFI, North Carolina, Georgia, California, New York, Seattle, Washington, around the world, in studio, NFI Radio Gospel Network, the number one quartet station in the world.
Welcome back, welcome back. We are live from the NFI studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina, and it is 9:30 a.m. on this wonderful Monday morning. Standing by that awesome preacher, teacher, man of God, and you all are ready to receive him on this Monday. I'm speaking of Reverend Robert E. Ellis out of Fort Washington, Maryland, with Approaching the Finish Line radio broadcast. He is the author and writer of the Biblical Insight of Coping with Chaos. And now, let's join him right here, live from the NFI studios. Good morning, Reverend Robert E. Ellison.
Good morning, Reverend Kearney. It's such a pleasure to be with you once again. And good morning to you, my listening audience, and welcome to yet another episode of the Approaching the Finish Line broadcast. My name is Robert Ellison. Always a pleasure to be with you. It's an honor and a privilege to be a part of the NFI network. Once again, I'm a man on a mission, that mission to be salt and light in a dying world and to occupy until he comes. Who is he? None other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For I've been anointed and appointed for such a time as this. You know, God could have placed us any place else in history, but he chose to put us here during this time. This time where there is such a convergence of world events, and it's very plain for most to see that the Lord Jesus Christ will be coming back soon, very soon indeed, because all of the things that he mentioned in Matthew chapter 24, although his audience at that time, he was speaking of the Jews, he was speaking to the Jews, a Jewish audience, when they asked the question, what will be happening at the time of your coming. Now, Jesus came the first time in the first advent, and they did not recognize him as Lord. They did not recognize him as their Messiah. But he promised before his ascension into the clouds in a physical body, when the disciples witnessed this, and there was an angel who said, why do you stare? Why do you look up in the clouds? For in the same manner that he has left, so shall the Son of Man return in like manner. So we're waiting. We're watching.
We're anticipating. As a matter of fact, there is a crown that's promised for those who are watching, and that's the crown of righteousness. So there's always a lot to talk about, so much to talk about, so little time, as I always say. But it's a very nice day here in the DMV where I am presently. It's a little cool, a little breezy. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I got word last night from my sister that my family, along my mother and niece, my family down in North Carolina attended a ceremony that was given in honor of pastors at the church where my dad was. He had the privilege of being one of those pastors. And so the church honored him yesterday, some 21 years after his death, after his going home to be with the Lord. My father endured quite a battle before leaving. He had kidney failure. He had gone into a coma a number of years ago, and the doctors didn't expect him to come out of that coma. They didn't expect him to live. But due to the power of prayer and believing saints, my father came out of that coma within a couple of days in his right mind. And my mother was there with him the entire time, as she has been for most of her life. And I know that Mom is listening to me right now. My father left quite a legacy behind, and I am part of that legacy. And so with that in mind, I intend to carry on the legacy that my father left for all of us, which is a legacy of faith. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. God did a miraculous thing with my dad. After his kidney failure, he was on dialysis for more than 20 years. Now, that's unheard of in today's world, but it happened with my dad. And during that time, for 3 hours, each day for 3 or 4 times out of a week, my dad was on that dialysis machine. And throughout all of that, he still managed to pastor 2 churches during that time period. And wherever he was and whomever he spoke to, he ministered the word of God, whether it was in the hospital room, whether it was at the kidney dialysis center, or whether it was in a pulpit. My dad was faithful to God. My dad persevered, and my mother was there to help him. So, Mom, I know you're listening, and I love you. Words can't explain. I just want you to know that your efforts in helping him were not in vain. So, with that being said, I want to ask you to join me in a moment of prayer before we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, and I do thank you for this day that you have made. And certainly, Lord, I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father, for giving me the privilege and the honor to come before your people to disseminate your word. Now, Father, I ask that you would lead and guide me this morning for the things that you would have your people to hear. Let those who have an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And, Father, may it be for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, we want to begin with today's commentary, for the week's commentary. This week's commentary is entitled Israel and Bible Prophecy. On this broadcast, you will hear me speak quite a bit about Israel, because the Lord has led me to bring this to your attention, because so much of Israel's history and most of the Bible, if not all of the Bible, has to do with Israel. So it's important that we know, that we understand, especially in the times that we live. On May 14, 1948, Israel became a nation literally overnight. This was a fulfillment of Bible prophecy as foretold in Isaiah 66:8, where it states, "Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." While facing stiff resistance within his own administration, and even many members of Congress at that time who were against Israel becoming a nation, President Harry S. Truman pushed forward with efforts that eventually led to Israel becoming a nation in one day. This incredible fulfillment of prophecy is testimony to the validity of God's word and his sovereignty over the nations of the earth. God declares his sovereignty in Isaiah 46:9 through 10, saying, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Much of the world will choose to forget God's covenant with Abraham concerning the Jewish nation. It is a binding and everlasting covenant that cannot and will not be broken because its author is God. Jeremiah 31:35-36 says, "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divides the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever." In other words, God is basically saying, you know, the sun, the moon, and the stars would have to fall from the sky before I would ever turn away from my people Israel. So that's not going to happen. God has not forgotten his people, nor will he ever. The church would do well to understand its purpose in God's sovereign plan of salvation in relation to Israel. For decades, even throughout the centuries, from the inception of the church, false doctrines as well as false teachers have created havoc within the church body. This was present even in the days of the apostles, as Paul begins chapter 11 in the book of Romans by making this statement. "I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin." False doctrines such as replacement theology, that's the belief that the church has somehow replaced Israel. The new apostolic reformation, which establishes its own mandates apart from scripture in taking over the kingdoms of the earth. Its roots are based in replacement theology, and they have no biblical credibility. These are doctrines of man and not of God. Our millennialism is a hermeneutic or a way of interpreting scripture that has done considerable damage in the interpretation of scripture, thereby blinding many to the literal plain truth as stated in the Bible. It denies yet to be fulfilled prophecies as if they had already taken place in times and seeks to deny a literal interpretation, such as the millennial reign of Christ on the earth mentioned in Revelation 20. Despite God's emphasis over six times in the passage of a literal physical reign of Christ on the earth, the amillennialists insist on allegorizing or hyper-spiritualizing the passage to detract from the original intent. As we draw closer to the return of Christ, deception will only increase, as this is a common weapon of the enemy. It's imperative now more than ever to stay in prayer, walking closely with God so as not to be deceived. We must be Bereans and study the word for ourselves in preparation for the return of our King. In these last days, we must recognize that the joy of the Lord is our strength. He has told us ahead of time what the outcome will be. This is the importance of Bible prophecy. In the words of prominent theologians and teachers, it's not meant to scare us, but to prepare us and ultimately calm our spirits as we rest in his promises while we find ourselves approaching the finish line. That's the week's commentary. And as I promised last week, today we're going to be looking at a topic that is sure to capture the imagination of many. And that topic, of all things, happens to be on dinosaurs. Are dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible? Well, here's the answer. The word dinosaurs is not mentioned in the Bible. No place in Scripture is that word used. It really didn't come into being until the year 1841. And that was by a prominent British scientist by the name of Sir Richard Owen. The meaning of the word is, it means terrible lizard. So I want to take you to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, where it speaks of the creation of the earth. See, what I want you to understand is that there is an epic battle that continues to rage. And that's why I always emphasize to put on the whole armor of God, to guard against the attacks of the enemy, and to go on the offensive. So today, as I have placed on the whole armor of God, as stated in Ephesians 6, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, shodding my feet with the preparation of the gospel, girding myself with the belt of truth, carrying that shield of faith, and wielding the sword of the Spirit. That is the word of God. That's the sword of the Spirit. Now, today I'm carrying a big, heavy sword because what I intend to do is to go after the misconceptions of this particular subject where so many have been kept in the dark for so long due to man's philosophies, due to that battle that's going on in the heavenlies. This is a battle against angelic powers. There is the battle between good and evil. And God's creation has always been in question where it comes to the adversary because he doesn't want you to understand creation the way that God made things. He always questions or brings doubt into people's minds. So with that, we begin with a man by the name of Charles Darwin. Darwin came up with the theory of evolution, and his beliefs were somewhat questionable. Not somewhat, they were just totally out of this world. So Darwin, first of all, did not possess a biblical worldview, but rather he had a secular worldview. He had a secular worldview, in other words, a worldly worldview, because Darwin did not believe in the existence of God. By his own words, he identified himself as an agnostic. He didn't believe in God. He did not believe that there was no God. It's like he was sort of in between. So this is the man who came up with the theory of evolution. He wrote two books that I want to bring to mind. One of them was the Origin of Species. I believe that came out in 1859. And also The Descent of Man. Now, it's said that Darwin was somewhat of a racist. Because in his books, he carried a racist philosophy wherein he describes Caucasians, for example, as being the height of evolution. And every other race below that of Caucasian, if you were not a Caucasian, then you were at the bottom of the evolutionary chain. So these racist philosophies were incorporated into what much of the public school systems have taught throughout my lifetime and throughout the lifetime of people that are listening to me, if not all. So this is the reason that I carry this huge sword today, because I'm coming against beliefs that have been infiltrating the school systems, the colleges, the places of higher learning, with no basis of truth whatsoever. It's merely conjecture. It's coming from the mind of a man who refused to believe that there is a God of all creation. It's coming from the mindset of a man who carried his own racist tendencies in his writings. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, and I want to show you proof and evidence of what I'm talking about. When God, in Genesis chapter 1, he talks about creating everything of its own kind. And this includes all the beasts of the field. It includes all of the animal, all of the plant life. Everything that God created, he created of its own kind. It's interesting in Genesis chapter 1 that it says that all the beasts of the earth, along with man, were created on the sixth day. All the beasts of the earth and also man were created on the sixth day of creation. And God saw that it was good, and he also said that he created every green herb for meat that was for both man and for the beast of the earth. Now, what I'm getting to here is that dinosaurs, as we know, dinosaurs as being a beast of the earth, it was included in God's creation, but the name dinosaur didn't exist then. The Bible just speaks of the beast of the earth. So if man and dinosaur both were created on the same day, wouldn't it stand to reason that man existed during the same time of these beasts? Now, I want to take you to Job chapter 40, where it speaks of the behemoth. And the behemoth, well, let me read the passage for you. Chapter 40, verse 15. Behold now, behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox. Verse 16. Lo now, his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. And verse 17, he moveth his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. Now I want to bring to your attention, he moves his tail like a cedar. There is no present animal that we know of in today's world that has a tail like a cedar tree. People would categorize behemoth as being an elephant or a hippopotamus. But if you look at their tails, they no way, shape, or form resemble the shape of a cedar tree. But I want to direct your attention to archaeology, and cave drawings and pictographs from all over the world where you see both man and these huge behemoths. And in most cases, the behemoths resemble what we used to know as Brontosaurus, Stegosaurus, all of the dinosaurs, quote unquote, that we have been known to or learned about in school. So what I'm talking about here is the validity of God's word. You see, the truth can only be suppressed, but for a season. But the truth will always come out. And so what I am attempting to do today is to bring the truth out about the misconceptions and the darkness that all of us have been under for so long concerning these huge beasts that we call dinosaurs. It's interesting, in 793 A.D., there's an account of Vikings that raided an island in northern England. They robbed a monastery, it was said, and they saw fiery dragons flying in the sky. Well, you say, preacher, how? What? Is that in the Bible? No, this is just an account of what happened at a certain time in history. But I want to take you now to Job chapter 41, where it speaks of a creature by the name of Leviathan. Now, this is all recorded in the book of Job, and Job is one of the oldest books of the Bible. These creatures that God created obviously and evidently lived during the time of Job. And so God is giving Job a lesson in his invincibility, in God's invincibility. And God uses one of his creatures that he created to convince Job of his invincibility. And he speaks of this Leviathan as having scales that were impenetrable, where neither spear nor sword had any effect on this creature. There was nothing that man could do to bring this creature down. Here in Job 41, in verse 19, it says, out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. What? This is in the Bible? Yes, it's in the book of Job, chapter 41. It says, out of his nostrils goeth smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. Verse 21 says, his breath kindleth coals, and the flame goeth out of his mouth. This is coming from the word of God. This is not a fable nor a fairy tale. And I know we've seen movies and we've read books and, you know, children's books, and it's all taught as being fable or fairy tale. You see, that's the enemy at work, where he's trying to discredit and discount the truth that is in the word of God. I remember preaching a sermon just a little over a year ago in a church that had quite a few educators that were in attendance. And I spoke on this particular subject of dinosaurs, but I couldn't go into a whole lot of detail at that time. But I did bring out the fact that dinosaurs could not have died or existed and died prior to the fall of Adam. You see, when Adam sinned, it ushered in into the world. In the beginning, when God made everything good and he gave the dominion of the earth over to Adam, which means Adam had control over the whole earth. And it was by Adam's sin that all of creation fell behind him. That includes the animal life. That includes the plant life. Everything that God had created because of sin that Adam ushered in, everything died as a result of that sin. And so if you take this into account, and knowing that the scripture states in Romans 5:12 that wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So the world would have us to believe that dinosaurs existed millions, if not billions of years ago, and they became extinct and they died out long before man came on the earth. No, that's a lie. That, my friends, is a fable. The word of God is true. And what I'm attempting to do is point out to you today the relevance, the validity, the authority of Scripture. Not what the world would have you to think. Not what people like Charles Darwin would have you to believe. I believe it's in Colossians 2:8 that states, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. What we have been subjected to are the vain deceit and philosophies of men, tradition of men, not the word of God, certainly not after Christ. You see, our war is not against the flesh, but it's against powers and principalities, thrones, dominions, spiritual wickedness in high places, the rulers of darkness, angels, fallen angels, who've come to deceive, who've come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's our enemy. This is why I carry such a big sword, because the fight is real. It's in the unseen. And this is what this broadcast focuses on. It focuses on these very things. All things eternal. This is not surface Christianity. This broadcast endeavors to explore the deep things of God. Not just hearsay, not just what any particular person believes outside of the word of God, but it seeks to rightfully divide the word of truth, bringing you the truth in love. That's what I attempt to do here on the Approaching the Finish Line broadcast. Now, next week, what I hope to bring to you is a discussion on the millennial reign of Christ, the actual 1,000 years that Christ will reign on the earth as an earthly king. This is why I talk about these different doctrines, these doctrines of devils that have infiltrated the church and caused people of the church to think in a particular way. Not according to the word of God, but through the vain philosophies of men. That's why this subject on dinosaurs is so important, because I want you to see the validity of God's word and how his word can be trusted. Don't trust in the things of this world. Be not conformed to the things of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm watching the clock. I see that my time has once again expired. I hope you'll join me next week when our discussion will be on the millennial kingdom. And from time to time, I'm going to speak on Israel. I'm going to speak on heaven, things eternal. Until then, God bless. Thank you for listening. If you want to reach me, you can reach me at approachingthefinishline@gmail.com. That's approachingthefinishline@gmail.com. Go tell a neighbor, go tell a friend that there's a preacher and he's here on the NFI radio network, and he is speaking the truth in love. Until next week, God bless you, my friends. Look forward to speaking with you again.
You've been listening to Reverend Robert E. Ellison out of Fort Washington, Maryland, with Approaching the Finish Line radio broadcast. Be sure to join him every Monday, 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith to the finish line where I see God's face.
What a fellowship.
My name is Albertina Walker, and I used to sing with Robert Anderson. And Robert was retiring, and this was his last recording when we was at the studio. And the record company asked me to record, and I didn't want to record by myself. I always wanted to sing with a group. And Mr. Allen and Mr. Simpkins, they were the proprietors of the record company. And the record company was United States. States was the gospel label, and United was the secular label. And I recorded. I asked him, Mr. Simpkins, Mr. Allen, could I record with the girls? And they said, if this is what you want to do, but we want you. I said, so don't make no difference. I said, I just want to sing with a group. I don't want to sing by myself. He said, well, what are we going to call you? I said, well, Elise Yancey lived in Gary. Nellie Grace Daniels lived in East Chicago, Indiana. Orly Hopkins Sanson lived in Chicago, and I lived on the other side of Chicago. So I said to him, I said, listen, I said, we're all from different places, but just call us the Caravans. And that's how the name of the Caravans was born, right there in the studio that night.
Everybody, let's give a big round of applause to the Caravan.
Building.
Oh,
thank you for my building.
Not
feeling I made right. And every day of my life, I'm begging you, Jesus,
Lord,
keep my body, keep my body strong. And Master, keep my hand. I need a little more grace. Thank you for my
bill.
I got another bill. Oh yes, I got another bill.
Well, I started off with my cousins in Troy, Alabama. I left Troy and went to Detroit with the same fellows. They were distant cousins of mine. And then when I got to Detroit, it was kind of cold, and I really didn't like it. So I left Detroit and moved to Los Angeles. And that's where I met the Mighty Clouds of Joy. I met one of the fellows in junior high school, and he said the same thing. He said, we got a group. We rehearsed every Tuesday and Thursday, and my cousin was going to that junior high school. He said, why don't you come to our rehearsal? And mind you, at that time, I was not a lead singer. That's what a lot of people don't know. I was a tenor singer. And one night we were rehearsing, and the lead singer had a problem with a certain part of a song. And I had something to do that night. He kept going over it and over it and over it. And I volunteered. I said, well, let me show you. I was a lead singer, well, you know, myself, but I didn't want to be a lead singer. I sang tenor. So I showed him how to do the part. And the old man who's really responsible for our career today, he's going to live with Jesus, he was sitting there and he was listening. And he told me that night, he said, from now on, you're going to be the lead singer. And that's how I started singing lead for the Mighty Clouds of Joy.
Oh, 2 years ago, I had an operation. He fixed up with me. I've been happy for the past 2 days here. In the midst of the greatest singers in the world. Oh! I love to see people lift up the name Jesus. Get me sad. If I been lifted up, I draw men. One more thing. I want to say, I'm going to sing a little bit of my song. Sometimes we walk around with a load on our shoulder. You don't have to walk around carrying a heavy load. We forget sometimes. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Ah, you can't handle it. Turn it over. Let me just say a little bit of this heavy load. Somebody don't know what I mean when I talk about a heavy load. I'm talking about a heavy load of sin. Somebody want to know what I got written, my heavy load.
down in the country, Alabama, 14 years old. Something got a hold of me. Something got a hold of me. I told my neighbor in a revival meeting one night, you know what? On a Thursday.
On a Thursday.
I believe that whatever I do, if I put God first, there's no failure in God. And he blessed the angelic singers. Our first recording was our biggest recording, Touch Me, Lord Jesus. And this year I'll be celebrating 60th year of gospel singing. And I said, I'm not tired yet. And I believe as long as I keep my trust in God, put him first, that I can keep on doing what I've been doing. I want to ask you a question. I want to know, have you ever been so sick you couldn't pray? You never experienced it, you just keep on living. I can talk about it tonight because I've experienced it. I recall September 71, I went into the hospital because I was becoming paralyzed.
doctor said I had two herniated discs in my spine that needed to be removed. But I was afraid to go through with that operation because I was told if the doctors made one mistake, I'd never walk again. But after lying there flat on my back from September until March 72, I thought about how I'd been traveling up and down the dangerous highways, singing and telling men and women that God is able. And here I'm lying in the hospital afraid to go into that operating room. After I had a talk with myself, then I had a talk with Dr. Jesus. I told him I would go in there if he would go with me. Speak to the doctors and tell the doctors what to do. The 29th day of March, I went into that operating room, no fear. I had to learn to walk again. I had to learn to use my hands again. But the night I can die, thank God! I can die anywhere! I can sit down to the piano and sing and play again. But so many nights while lying there in that hospital, my body was racked with pain. I was so sick I couldn't breathe. The only thing I could do was just look up toward heaven and utter these words. Touch. Touch me, Lord Jesus.
Oh,
Look at somebody, just tell them, I'm blessed and I know I'm blessed. Come on, just don't let this just tell them, I'm blessed and I know I walk blessed. He blessed me. Down and shaking together.
Graduated from high school, I went to Southern a year in Baton Rouge and then came to Texas, and it was there that I understood the call into the ministry of music. So I didn't choose it. It actually chose me. I like saying that God had it ready for me but had to get me ready for it. Since that time, I've been privileged to just touch the lives of a whole lot of people through the music and to be able to cross paths and share. Some of the songs, I guess, that would have led me here for the songs that I did with Florida Mass through Malico and also with Mississippi Mass. I saw Father Hayes here. Cosmopolitan did All in His Hand again some years ago. Albertina Walker was here. She's done songs like I'm Still Here and Sanctify Me.
I want Michael to come and just be, let God use him.
He'll say this and you don't have to know it. You don't have to know the song, but you know it. So we're going to just say it. I'm going to say it one time and you repeat it. We're going to sound in one voice. Watch this.
If you have not saved me, I don't know where I would be.
Way down there. If you have not,
if you have not saved, I don't know
where
I would be.
As though God is right in front of you, tell if you have not. Say, I don't know.
I don't know where I would say no.
Say these words. Exaggerate. Say, through storm clouds.
Through storm clouds.
Through dark clouds.
The sun will always shine through.
Talk to God, tell him if you have not saved me. Tell him not saved me. Say, I don't know where.
I don't know
where.
I would say no.
This time give me a little fuller voice. Bellow it out if you have.
I don't.
I'm gonna say it.
Where I would be.
Tenors, you're gonna say this. You're gonna say this, tenors.
Through storm clouds, through dark clouds, the sun will always shine through.
Say it with me, tenors. Through storm clouds. Say it, through storm clouds.
Through storm clouds.
Through dark clouds.
Through dark clouds.
The sun will always shine through.
The sun will.
Alto, you say yours.
Through storm clouds.
Get up there, Alto. Through storm clouds. Say it.
Through storm clouds.
Through dark clouds.
Through
dark clouds. The sun will always shine through.
The sun will always Sopranos, you take it up a third. You're a third up, sopranos. Say it about through storm clouds. Through dark clouds. That's it. Say the sun will always shine through. Give it all you got. Everybody get ready. Everybody get ready. Everybody get ready. Everybody say it. Through storm clouds.
Through dark clouds.
Talk to him just a second. Talk to him. You saved me. You saved me. You raised me.
You raised me.
Talk to him. You healed me.
You healed me.
Tell him you delivered me.
You delivered me.
Come on, talk to him. He's your father. You saved me.
You saved me.
Don't look at me. Talk to him. You raised me. Tell him. You heal me.
You heal me.
You deliver me.
You deliver me.
Say, I thank you.
I thank you.
Jesus.
Jesus.
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 Just say you.
That I've been redeemed. See, the Hummingbird was organized by James B. Davis in 1928. And this was getting into closer into 38 when they came in and picked up my bass singer. So he said, "Well, Tuck, I'll be back. I'm going to speak to the boys." I said, "Yeah, right, you know." But he did come back in about 2 months. And they sang there again. So Mr. Davis said, "Have you ever sang tenor?" I said, "No." "Lead?" "No." He said, "Well, did you sing?" I said, "Well, I was singing baritone." I said, "But I think I can sing tenor." He said, "Well, you know, we live in Greenville and you in Spartanburg." I said, "Okay. If I can't do it, I'll just walk back home. It's not but 29 miles. So he said, "Okay." They took me home from the house of prayer where they sang. And I told my mother, you know, so she said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Yeah, they want me to leave tonight, Mother." She said, "Well, all right, said, you can go." And I went in the back room to get something, and she was in there crying. So I came out. I said, "Fellas, I'm not going anywhere." I said, "My mother is not feeling too good." She came out and she said, "Oh, yes, he is. He is going tonight." She said, "Because I fixed it up with Jesus a long time ago, and God is going to take care of me." And she said, "Now, don't say nothing, but just get what you have and get out, because I know you're coming back whenever it is to get me." So I didn't want to go as much as I had wanted to before then, but looked like something to say, "Well, go ahead, because you can do more here than you can working for $4 a week, you know." So I went on. I've been out here 60 6 years with the Dixie Hummingbirds.
There's a little bird that flies around, humming all the time. One day in the spring, while the birds were humming, James B. Davis overheard, and he decided to name his group the Dixie Hummingbirds. So we've been singing for the master ever since we were young. Read your Bible, then you know the story about the man who could not see. Hallelujah. But he heard that Jesus was passing. He said, Lord, please.
We are presently working very diligently to preserve traditional gospel music. Everything with a solid foundation needs to be preserved, and people need to know its history. And so I'm in Jackson, Mississippi, where we are producing material from a traditional base, representing artists that go way back into the early 50s when they developed their groups, and they are all singing together. What a wonderful opportunity to share this and to have it available for other people, for young people, to really know what gospel music is.
Well, you know, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I
couldn't keep it to myself.
Oh, I
couldn't keep it to myself.
You know, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I
I come to this place and I look at the wonderful artistry that is gathered here, the legends who have gathered here, some who are active today on the music scene, some who the phone has stopped ringing for. And I look at what's being done through the power of the combination of these visual medium, or the visual medium of television, DVD, and through all these different formats, and putting audio together to bring to life some of these great, great artists. And I think of a re-energizing. I think of not only championing, you know, the traditional music roots from which most of the rest of gospel springs today, but at the same time giving an opportunity for the world to see and hear and feel and know some of the people who contributed so much, many of whom, you know, have become the foundation for the young people of today to stand upon.
Yeah!